I said, "You are right, man." All right, good. I am clamming because I've been singing a lot. Anyone else here clamming? Anybody want some water? Anybody want a squirt? Woo! Rock and roll for Jesus. Okay, here we go. That's about as rock and roll as we're going to get. Guys, tonight I'm talking to you about igniting a passion for hope. And when we had the whole program for 2007, and this one topic came up, igniting a passion for hope, I got really excited. Because if it's one thing that I believe that God can offer this generation, that this generation is just absolutely lacking, then it's hope. And I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of hope, because like hope is used in all sorts of things. Is there any England rugby fans here at the moment? Well, you know what I'm on about when I'm on about needing hope, because it was a bad day for us yesterday, but Friday you had a mare, sorry. But in fact, you had such a bad mare on Friday that I googled the words "no hope" this morning, and on the first page came up England and South Africa, and that's the truth. So, and so we often use words like hope to do with sport or to do with just stupid stuff like, you know, are you going to go out with so-and-so? Oh, I hope so. Well, whatever, like that's... Hope is just so much more than just like some sort of like just poncy little thing like that. And to be honest with you, tonight I'm not going to preach a sermon at you. I haven't got a load of notes I'm going to preach to you. I'm just going to speak my heart out to you guys because I want to be just blunt with you, okay? I've got a little girl. She's almost 16 months old. And sometimes I look at the world that she's going to grow up in and it makes me cry. Because this world is not always a good place to grow up in. And I'm going to just share a couple of stories, you know, a couple of bits and bobs from the Bible. But before we do, I'm going to define what hope is. This is the best definition of hope that I could find in my father-in-law's very godly brethren library. And here it is. Hope is the expectation of future good. What's your future like? What's your life going to look like down the line? I hope it's going to be okay. I hope I'm going to get married. I hope I'm going to get a good job. I hope I stay healthy. I hope this. I hope that. And the problem is that we put our hope in so much stuff that it's not worth putting our hope in. Can I tell you, there's a scripture that says this. It says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Let me explain what that means. It means someone offers you something and they don't deliver. And you put all you stake all your chips on that one thing. So many of you young people, let me just get this off my chest, because I've got to get this off my chest at some point in this talk. And I haven't even started yet. I'm all over the shop already, but I don't care, because you just need to hear this. Here we go. All right, so many of you put your hope in relationships, and your teenagers. And girls, can I tell you something? 99% of teenage boys are idiots. I know, because I was one. All right? And by the time, and boys, 99% of teenage girls are emotionally unstable. So, here we go. Stop putting your hope in people that are going to disappoint you. Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Guys, so often when I was growing up as a teenager in Pontypool, I put my hope in friends. I made so many stupid decisions because I wanted to be accepted. I got in all sorts of trouble. I did so many just pointless, stupid, even dangerous things because I thought their friendship was what matters. But they weren't friends all along. I got myself involved in all sorts of destructive and dangerous relationships because I thought I was going to find satisfaction. I thought that's where life was going to be. I'd like to say that I worked really hard at getting an education to have loads of money, but that would be a lie. I never fell for the lie that education is where it's at. But to be honest with you, compared to some of the stuff I probably put a lot of my effort in, I probably could have done with working a bit harder in school. Would have kept me out of all sorts of trouble. But here we go. Now, guys, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Is there anybody here tonight? You can stick your hand up if you want. I can't see because our light is so jolly bright. I can't see a thing. But here we go. But you can put your hands up if you want. If it helps you get rid of your BO, that's fine. Right. How many of you have been promised something by someone they failed to deliver and it broke your heart? It happens, guys. See, I've got a really chirpy, happy, woohoo message for you tonight, and that's this. Life is hard. I ain't going to stand here and tell you, you become a Christian, you give your life to Jesus, you do the whole Christian thing, that you're going to have some sort of super duper magic, never got a problem in your life again thing. And what I'm not doing is I'm not giving you some cuddly bunny Christianity saying, hey, become a Christian, everything's going to be wonderful, woo-hoo, fluffy bunnies. I'm not doing that. Can I tell you that what I want to get across to you tonight, and I pray, Jesus, that I do, I really pray that I do, is that there is only one who is worth putting their hope in. There's only one worth putting their trust in, and that's God. And there's so much stuff in this world. It's going to rob you of happiness. It's going to rob you of joy. It's going to rob you of what you're here to do. It's going to trash your life. And I'd rather you learn this lesson now than wait till you get to your 20s, 30s, even later, and realize that you just wasted so much of your potential and the time that you had because you were looking for hope in all the wrong places. That's my introduction. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Okay. Now, I'm preaching to you from a book in a Bible tonight, which you don't hear many sermons from. And let me tell you why. It's because it's the Old Testament version of Travis. That's why. And because, you know Travis, that Scottish band? Why does it always rain on me? It's because you live in Scotland. Can I just... It's nothing to do with the fact that you lied when you were 17. It's because you live north of Adrian's Wall, and it hasn't stopped raining since 1973. That's why. All right. So, but like, the Book of Lamentations is just this real sort of old school, depressing book. Can I tell you, it's five chapters of just crying your eyes out. It is just the most depressing book, possibly, in the whole Bible, apart from one little bit in the middle. And you'll be glad to hear we're going to mainly focus on the little nugget in the middle, the little shining diamond in the otherwise massive pool of darkness. But let me tell you why it's such a depressing book. It's written by a bloke called Jeremiah, all right? He was a prophet back in Israel. And guess what's just happened to his city? God has told his people time and time and time again. He says, guys, I love you, but if you keep kicking me into touch, you keep saying, stuff you, God, I don't want nothing to do with you in my life or in my country, then you're going to get what you want, because God's a gentleman. You say, God, I don't want nothing to do with you, he's not going to force himself on you. He gives you what you want. And his people said time and time again, God, no angst, we want to do our thing. We don't care what you say, we want to do our thing. And what happened is God said, okay, then you're going to get what's coming. I don't want you to get what's coming, but if you reject God, if you reject light, all you got left is darkness. And there's this time when this nation called Babylon, they came and they basically invaded Israel. They sacked the city of Jerusalem, smashed it to pieces. Women were being beaten up, raped, murdered. Children were killed in the streets. The children and women that were left, there's stuff in this story, they were starving to death in the streets. It was an absolutely horrific situation. It was horrific. It was like the worst stuff that you see on News 24, all intensified in Jeremiah's backyard. It was a horrible time. It was a time when loads of the young men and all the young sort of like, you know, the brainy people and the strong people and everyone who had all the potential to do good things, they got dragged off, taken prisoner and stuck in the country of Babylon to go and sort of serve the king there in Babylon. And all that was left was women and children starving in the streets. And this guy, Jeremiah, right, he's seen God doing some awesome stuff. He knows the history of that nation. There's been some amazing stuff going on. And guys, he walks out of his house one day, and he just sees his city in smoke. And he sees his world smashed to pieces. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get numb to what I see on the news. Because it's just like pictures. You don't smell the smells. You don't really hear the screams. You don't sense the desperation. And Jeremiah walked out of his door one day and he just saw a hopeless world. And as you go, I mean, some of you have already seen this. Some of you are young, 11, 12 years old. And I trust me, this is going to be such a positive message by the end. I want you to know that there's going to be things that happen in this world during your lifetime that are just going to make you go out, put your hand on your head, and just cry. Say, God, why? Why? And we're going to have a look at this one little chunk of the book of Jeremiah. And here's the thing. This is what a world without hope, a life without hope looks like. We stick that next slide on. We're going to read it. Here we go. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. This is what he's saying. That's a weird thing to say. He has made my teeth grind on gravel. But can I just, like, I'm asking you not to sort of be all macho and hard, but just to admit something to me here, guys, okay? How many of you had a day? I'm going to warn you on the PA, it's going to be loud in a minute, okay? So just sort of like maybe turn me down in a second. How many of you had a day or something's gone on, you just feel hurt, you feel rejected, you feel let down, you feel hopeless, and you go into your bedroom and you throw something across the room and you just go, "Aah!" Ever had one of those days? All the boys put their hands up because I know. But then this happens. You get rid of every single bit of aggression, every single bit of what you got left, and you just feel absolutely drained, and you throw yourself on your bed, and you don't lie down on your back as if you're looking at the sun and everything's rosy. How do you lie down when things are hopeless and when things are on top and you don't know where to turn? I know for a fact you grab that pillow and you shove it in your face and you go face down on your pillow and you're just like that. You ever been there? Hands up if you've ever been there. Good job. Okay. When I was about 20 years younger, I could get up easy, but I've got arthritis. Here we are. When he says he's made my teeth grind on the gravel, he was face down in the dirt, guys. He looked at what was going on. He's like, that's all he's got left. Face down. I can't cope. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. That means that, like, I just can't find peace wherever I go. Guys, do me a favor here, right? Please just take my word for this. Don't smoke ganja to get peace. Oh, I'm not joking. I got a friend who ended up on crack cocaine and heroin because he thought he could handle ganja. So don't go looking in the wrong places for your peace. But the problem is that if you haven't got God and you haven't got hope, and the only thing that you've got to turn to for hope in your life and to find peace is things other than God. And people turn to ganja. People turn to relationships. They turn to all sorts. They turn to Trisha. What are you doing, man? But there we go. You know, they turn Jerry Springer. No, please, turn him off. He does my boxing. Here we go. Right, we turn to all sorts of places for our peace. And this is what he said. He said, I look around and I'm bereft of peace. I can't find it. And here's the thing, guys. When that thing in your life is missing, when you can't find peace, when you can't find hope, when you can't find what you're clamming for, doesn't matter where you go, it follows you like a shadow. You can't get away from it. That's why people get high. That's why people jump into bed with other people. That's why people throw themselves into this, that, or the other. Because they want peace. I'm not talking about world peace. World peace would be great. But I personally have gone through times in my life where I would give my right leg for some internal peace. Where I could put my head on a pillow at the end of the day and say, do you know what? It's all right. Where I could be left alone with my thoughts and say, I'm cool with that. And some of you know exactly what I'm on about because that's where you're at. Some of you, praise God, have been there and then you found God and you found your hope and he's delivered you from that. And hallelujah, I say to that, because that's what God does. That's what he's done for me. But that's where Jeremiah's at. He says, listen, my soul's bereft of peace. And check it out. I've forgotten what happiness is. A lot of you know that, you know, a lot of people associate me with the St. Melon's Estate in Cardiff. I lived there for a long time. I just moved there. Back up to a council estate, 800 foot above sea level, which is like a small version of St. Melon's, but you get altitude sickness as well. And that's where I've moved to. It's called Trevethin, up in Pontypool. And I just moved up there. And the number of things that I witnessed living on the St. Melon's estate. Now, I'm not knocking St. Melon's. Right, God, you know, God's changed that place to totally beyond recognition in the 6 years that I lived there. Not because I lived there, but just because he's good and he does that stuff. But you know, you see kids, like, you know, robbing people of their mobile phones, and they're like 12 or 13, and, you know, you see kids crashing cars and dying, and you see, you know, Boxing Day, one year we had a knock on our door on Boxing Day, and this kid said, listen, my mother's just taken an overdose, because she says she can't cope with me anymore, can you come and help, I don't know what to do. Where's the hope, guys? What hope is there for this world without God? And we say, where's God in all this? And we blame God. If you got a God, you bang on about God, you chopsy skinhead, you stand there and you tell me about God, you tell me why all this bad stuff's happening. I want to tell you, it's happening because we've kicked God into touch. Because we've said that God stuff you. I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't want to listen to what you got to say. I don't want your, you know, Bible and your like preachy type people telling me what I can and can't do. I don't want nothing to do with you. And God says, you want to go your way and do your thing? I'm a gentleman. That's what's going to happen. And as a society, as a nation, we kick God into touch. And now we just see all this messed up stuff going on. We're like, well, where's God? Well, he's where we left him, guys. We kicked him into touch. And it's not a hopeful picture. You know, some people are naturally hope-filled. Woohoo, whoopee, poopee. Everything's great. Other people are just quite realistic and say, do you know what? Things are hard. The life without hope is a life without God. And the life without God is a life without hope. Tonight, if you haven't got God, let me ask you, who is your hope in? What are you placing your life in? What are you trusting to get you through? For real. I'm not just like, you know, I'm not asking you awkward questions just because I want to be like, you know, really kind of provocative. I'm asking you because this matters. Because this matters. Because you only get one life. You only get one go. Praise God. Praise God because of what he is like. Because check out 3 verses later. He says, my endurance has perished. So has my hope. I haven't got any more hope. I haven't got any more strength. I can't carry on. And then he remembers something. Second slide. That's the life without hope. But this is the lifeline of hope. Check it out. He says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Can I tell you, whoever you are here tonight, whether you're in the crew, you're on the young people, you're one of the youth, you're security, you're just some random bod walking past, can I say to you that God is unchanging and his love for you is unchanging. His love pursued you all the way to the cross of Calvary. The stuff which is destroying your life and your family's lives and your community's lives and this nation, Jesus Christ died for it. The stuff that I did, I've hurt people in my life, guys, in all sorts of different ways. And I've been hurt. And I've got a God who promises, I will give grace to the guilty and I will heal the hurting. That's what I do. That's what I'm in the business of doing. So on the cross of Jesus, on the cross of Jesus Christ, every person I punched, everything I stole, every curse word I spoke, every time I bullied someone, every time I did something nasty or unkind, Jesus Christ took that as if he'd been the one that did it. Why? Because he loves me. Why does he love me? I don't know. Let me tell you, it's not because I'm a lovely person. But because that's what he's like. Because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And you can run and run and run from the love of God, guys. But when you get to wherever you're going, it's still there waiting for you. He loved you enough to die for you. The pains you go through in your life, the things that have been done to you, the things that you regret, the stuff that you can't get away from. Isaiah 53 says this, by his wounds we're healed. There's healing for you. There's hope in healing. There's hope in grace. There's hope in Jesus Christ. Check it out. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. You know, one of the things I've learned quite quickly about living back in the valleys, I didn't realize it before, but I've realized it very quickly, is that the sun doesn't shine as much up there as it does in the rest of the world because you're kind of halfway to the moon, okay? This morning, I sat in my living room and I hadn't noticed that the sun wasn't out. Then all of a sudden, the clouds sort of moved and the sun comes shining through the window and I was like, whoa, look at the sun. Isn't that nice? Ever had one of those moments where you're just gone, whoa, look at the sun. I need a drink because my voice is beginning to sound like Joe Pascali and that's not who I want to sound like. Hang on. The sun never stopped shining, guys. The clouds got in the way. That's what happened. And with God, he has not moved. He has not budged. He's still there and he still loves you. And the things get in the way, the clouds of guilt or the clouds of doubt or the clouds of hopelessness or whatever those clouds are, can I say to you that they are not going to outlast the sun? Whatever's going on in your life is not going to outlast God. And he's a God of love and he's a God of mercy. He's not the God that says, well, I'm just going to smack you with a stick and leave you in the gutter where you belong. This city, yes, it had been ransacked because people had rejected God, but it hadn't stopped God being faithful. And that was a God that promises people, I'm still going to be there for you. I'm still going to be there for you. I still love you. I'm still going to show you my love. And it says his mercies never come round. They're new every morning. He's faithful. There's not one person in this room, be it a boyfriend, a girlfriend, husband, wife, mother or father, whose faithfulness could even touch the faithfulness of God. And I say that as a man who's happily married. I trust my wife. I love her. I trust her to be faithful. My parents never, you know, never let me down, you know, in any major way. But God's so much more faithful than people and friends. And what do you put your faith in? Do you put your faith in the pay packet? Do you put your faith in your brain cells and the education you're going to get? What is it you're putting your faith in to give you the hope that you need to get through? You all heard of Bono, haven't you? Irish rock star named after dog food. You must have heard of him. Yeah? Well, Bono, he sings for U2. And he's got this song called Peace on Earth with U2. And there's this one lyric in it, and it's this. Jesus, can you take the time to throw a drowning man a line? And we got a world, we got a city, we got a nation that's drowning. And Jesus did throw us a lifeline. He came into this world, he hung on a cross, he took away all the stuff that was destroying our lives and destroying our world. He paid the price for it. He was punished as if he'd been the one that had done that. He threw us a lifeline. And because of that, we put our faith in him. We put our hope in him. That doesn't mean become all Christian and pretend everything's okay. I mean, put your faith in the rock. I mean, put your faith in the one who's going to outlast this world, who's bigger than the problems, who's bigger than the clouds. Put your faith in him. The Bible says this is what's going to happen. It says that we're born again. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says it's an amazing thing. We're born again into a living hope. See, I'm not talking about religion. I hate religion. Religion does my head in, and it does God's head in as well. So I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a living hope, because Jesus didn't just die on a cross. He rose again from the dead, which means that unlike everyone else that ever started a religion, unlike everyone else who ever said, hey, listen, I can sort it out, he didn't stay dead. Everyone else that ever started a religion or had a good idea either did die, will die, not Jesus. Have you got living hope? Have you got a hope that when you wake up in the morning, it's still there with you? Or do you have to go through the motions every day? Oh, I hope today's going to be okay. Oh, I hope today's going to be okay. I hope they don't dump me today. I hope I don't get done in school today. I hope that, like, I don't get made redundant today. I hope that my dad doesn't shout at me today. I hope that... You fill in the blank. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. You put your faith in the rock. You put your faith in the unchanging one, the living hope. The Bible describes him as an anchor. We heard it earlier on, the anchor for the soul that's sure and steadfast. Any of you ever been on a ferry or a ship or something in really dodgy water? Oh, my days, it's a nightmare. Because like, it's all right, like everyone's chilling, they're playing chess or something, whatever they do, travel chess. Whatever, and like everyone's happy reading the newspaper, having a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden this like wave the size of whales comes along and he goes whoa like that, and like the ship goes this way and all the vomit goes this way, and then he goes down on the other end of the wave and you see all the carrots rolling the other way like this, and you see all the sort of like people throwing up again, and you see crockery flying everywhere, and it all gets messy, and you see people kicking off. I was 2 moves away from checkmate and the storm came and ruined it all. That was you, wasn't it? You were 2 moves away from checkmate. I want to apologize on behalf of the waves. Okay. Guys, storms smash stuff up. Storms are scary. And like, when the storms of your life are going to hit you, in whatever way they're going to come, my question to you is, are you going to stand? Who is your hope in? Are you hoping in people? Are you hoping in money? Are you hoping in just like stuff like that? Are you hoping in the one who's bigger than the storm? Are you building your house on the rock? Jesus said the wise man builds his house on the rock because the house on the sand fell flat. Yeah? Wake up. All right. That's what happens. You build your house on the rock because the rock doesn't move, and no matter what happens when the storm comes, we got an anchor that keeps us, that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. That's an old school hymn because I'm an old school kind of guy with a bad limp and a dodgy voice. Okay, the lifeline of hope. Have you grabbed hold of that lifeline of hope? Are you a Christian? Not are you you're hoping you're a Christian? Not are you thinking about it? Tonight, have you got hope? Are you going home saying, whatever it's me, I don't care because I've got Jesus and my feet are on the rock. I have got hope. It's a solid hope. It's a living hope. It's a hope that doesn't disappoint. If you haven't, you need to turn to Jesus. And some of you will have so many excuses why you won't put your faith in him. I'm too messed up. I'm too guilty. God wouldn't want nothing to do with someone like me. Die, you know, you make out like you're once a little gangster, but you know, I bet you weren't that bad. You've got no idea what I've done. You've got no idea what's been going on in my life. See, God doesn't want to give hope to people like me because I'm hopeless. I've been feeling hopeless for a while. In fact, people tell me I'm hopeless. I've been called a hopeless case ever since I can remember. Even my parents tell me that I'm a no-hoper because I'm rubbish in school and I keep making bad decisions and wrong decisions. You read the Gospels of Jesus Christ again and you see there's a God who loves hopeless cases. He is hope for the hopeless. There's not one of you years beyond him. There's not one of your pasts that he can't take care of. There's not one of your regrets, not one of your hurts, not one of your anything that is just wrecking your life and robbing you of hope. There's none of that. None of that that Jesus Christ hasn't already taken care of on the cross. You are not beyond him. You are not beyond hope. You're not beyond happiness. You haven't got to say with Jeremiah that I've forgotten what happiness feels like. Some of you might even be there. I've forgotten what it feels like to be truly happy. I'm only happy when I'm popular or when I'm high or when I'm rich. And that just doesn't last very long. There's a lifeline of hope. And a final point, I'm going to fly through this because I've been just bombing on. Here we go. The lifestyle of hope. Those of you who are Christians, like, don't you just want to share some of it? How many of you have come back from the summer just buzzing about like God again? Because you've been to some camp, you've heard like the word explained. Hallelujah. Shout amen if that's you. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Because you're like, actually, do you know what? I had a rubbish year last year, and then I went to this, you know, to this camp, I went to this conference, I went to Soul Survivor, and I got reminded that he hasn't given up on me. That he still loves me. He's still got a purpose for me. He's still got a plan for me. He still wants to do stuff through me. And I want to be used by God. God, your grace is massive. You love us unconditionally. I want to share that with other people. Well, can I say, after you've grabbed the lifeline of hope, you've got to start living the lifestyle of hope. Check it out. We need to always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks us for the reason for the hope that's in us. If you've got hope in you, you've got to be ready to tell people. You've got to be ready to show people. Don't be going out getting wasted with them and then just doing church on the weekend. Don't be going out just sort of like getting in loads of stupid relationships and showing them that actually you're not that different at all. Don't be going out cussing. Don't be going out getting chased by the police. Don't be going out and just being the same as everyone else. You know, some of you were here on the conference I was speaking at in the summer, so sorry, but I'm going to repeat myself here. But I'm sick of what this world thinks rebellion is. See, rebellion is getting high. Rebellion is getting drunk. Rebellion is going out and getting laid by as many people as you can. Rebellion is kicking off. Rebellion is getting done in school. That's not rebellion. It's not rebellion. I'm not going to go, you know, you're not going to go to school on Monday and say, oh, guess what, guys, I got drunk on the weekend because I'm bad. It's like, no, so what? So did everyone else. That's not rebellion anymore. That's boring. You're not rebelling anymore. It was only just rebellion 15 years ago when I was in school. These days, everyone's at it. Oh, guess what? I had sex with someone. Whoopee-doo. Look at the blinking television. Everyone's doing that. You're not rebels anymore. If that's you, oh, bruv, I tells you what, bruv, I'm a G, right? Because what I does, bruv, is I goes to school and I goes behind the sheds, bruv, and me and my mates, we wrap some free skin in it and we all get blocked up and then goes to maths. Oh, I tell you, bruv, we're bad. No, you're not. You're just the same as everyone else because everyone's doing it. It's boring. Listen, I'm serious. This world is hopeless and it needs hope. This world is hopeless and it needs God. What this world doesn't need is people saying, I love Jesus. I'm about, you know, come and be cool like me in church, but I'm going to do the same as everything else. We don't need Christians who are born again, so we're going to follow the crowd. We don't need that. We need people who are going to shine, who are going to be different, who are going to say, there's so many things I could do next May, but you know what I'm doing? I'm giving 4 days of my life, I'm signing up for Ignite Hope, and I'm going to walk around with a jacket saying, I love Jesus, kick me if you want, I don't care, because I've got a metal box on the back of your jacket, and you're going to say, whatever I'm asked to do to give a little bit of hope for my community, a little bit of hope for Wales, a little bit of hope for people, I'm going to do that, because that's the sacrifice is not too big to make. Just on that point, I had this amazing thought, right? But what if they get you picking up litter that you didn't drop? What a waste of your May Day bank holiday, right? And then God, I was thinking this, and three or four days ago, God said to me, there is no greater picture
of what Jesus Christ has done for you than coming into your life and picking up a bunch of rubbish that he didn't drop and taking it away so that you've never got to see it again. You want to paint a picture to Wales of what the cross of Jesus Christ is about? Go and blink and pick someone's litter up. When you say, what are you doing that for? Because that's what God done for me. That's what God can do for you. You want to give some hope to people? You want to start like praying in the mornings, God, what can I do in school? What can I do today? How can I bless someone today? Stop being so boring and just like trying to rebel all the time. It's not big. It's not clever. And by the time you get to my age, you just realize what a muppet you were. These are the best years of your life. I'm 30 years old. I've honestly got arthritis in both my ankles. I honestly, you know, I get tired. I sweat badly. My breath is getting atrocious right now. I can't have one-to-ones anymore. I have to do it over the phone. Do you get me? Because I'm getting old. And like Dan Decay's kicking in. And all this stuff's going on. And like you guys, you're young. And you've got energy. You could probably like get to the end of the furnace tonight and not fall asleep. Come on. These are the best years of your life. Live a life of hope. Give yourselves completely to the God who gave you the hope that you've got. Is there anybody here who's got that hope? Hands up and shout amen if you've got that hope. Amen. Well, guys, let's do something with him, man, please. Because I'm sick of what's going on in my country. I'm sick of what's going on in Britain, especially in Wales. I'm sick of drugs. I'm sick of abuse. I'm sick of marriages falling apart. I'm sick of trouble. I'm sick of violence. I'm sick of old people scared out of their wits that they've got to stay in and watch the EastEnders on Emus again. I'm sick of all that. I'm sick of it. And there's only one hope. And it's not you. It's him. And who's going to tell him? Who's going to tell him? I ain't coming to your school and tell him. Look at me, man. I'll get arrested if I come to your school and tell him. So you got to go in and tell him. And you got to go to your place of work. And you got to front up. And you got to have the guts to say, people are going to laugh at me. People are going to mock me. People are going to think I'm a muppet. But I don't care. Because what Jesus did for me is worth sharing. And the hope isn't that God can take all your problems away. The hope is that God loves you. And he's faithful. And when the troubles come, he'll get you through them. And there's one hope. I'm going to close with this. And I'm going to clam up and we're going to carry on with whatever's happening next. I'm going to heaven. For definite. Because my living hope is in Jesus Christ. And he owns the place. And he said, if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be born again. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. You come through Jesus, you get in there. Can I just read you a little passage from the Bible about heaven? Because sometimes this is what I read to stop me crying too much. Check it out. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear away from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Guys, do you want to go there? Are you going there? Do you want people to come with you? I'm going there. Whatever the world throws at me, I'm going there. Because he keeps his promises. I'm really rubbish at keeping promises. He's not. He's faithful. Is he taking you there? Do you want to go there? Have you got the hope of glory? The Bible says Jesus Christ is our hope, and he's the hope of glory in our hearts. And it's like my little homing beacon. Bong, 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 bong. Whatever happens, I'm going to heaven. That homing beacon is going to be calling me home till the day I get there. Again, apologies to those of you who heard me preach on this in the summer, but it's still a very powerful thing in my life. My mother was diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago. Some of you might know that. And when she was very real, you know, death was a very real option for her. And I went into the hospital bed and I looked into her eyes. My mother's a lovely Christian woman. And there was no fear in her eyes whatsoever. Just absolute hope. And she was not bereft of peace. She was dripping with it. Because that's what Jesus does. He puts the hope of glory in your heart. And the world will never rob you of that. The world can't rob you of forgiveness. The world can't rob you of peace. The world can't rob you of heaven. So why not give your life to that God? If you don't know that God of hope, if you haven't got hope ignited in your heart, why not tonight just say, do you know what? I'm not running anymore. Jesus, I accept it. I take it. And if you've got that, why not go and spread it a little bit and fill other people's lives? Sign up for Ignite Hope. I really think that's an awesome thing what's going on. Sign up for that and say, I'm just going to give myself for that. Let's stand to our feet. The band are going to come up. I'm going to actually ask you to respond in one of two ways tonight. Stand to your feet. We're almost out of time. So here's what we're going to do. My first challenge to you is this. Close your eyes. That's my first challenge. The band are going to just start playing some songs, and I'm going to very quickly just give you a chance to respond to what I've been saying. If there's any of you here who are Christians, and what I've said about just saying stuff rebellion, stuff like, you know, living for myself, I want to be just full of hope. I want that hope to drip out of me, to flow out of me, and into the world around me. I just ask you just very simply, just put your hand up in the air, and I'm going to pray for you. If that's you, if you're a Christian, and you want to be a Christian who is a hope-filled Christian and a hope-giving Christian, I want you to put your hand up and say, you know, Jesus, I want you to use me. I'm not saying this is you signing up for Ignite Hope. I'm saying this is you saying, Jesus, I want to give hope to this world because hope needs it. I'm willing. I know I'm rubbish, but I'm willing. Use me. If that's you, I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord, just bless my brothers and sisters whose hands are raised. Bless them, God. Bless their hearts. Bless their intentions. I pray that you will use them in mighty ways to touch their friends, families, schools, communities, even beyond that, Lord, into this nation, into this world. Lord, use them as ministers of hope. I want to pray, Lord God, that you give them strength to stand, strength to break addictions that hold them back, strength, Lord, to be real and radical for you. Bless them, bless their intentions, and I just pray you'll bless all those people that are on their hearts right now as I've been speaking this. In Jesus' name. Thank you, guys. Put your hands down. Final challenge. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up. This is going to be a case of you've got to make a step. Not step to the front of the stage, but step through those doors. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't got that hope in your heart, if you've heard this but you've never responded to this, then my challenge to you is that while the song is playing, just pretend you're going to the toilet or something if you don't want, you know, to make a big scene, and just go out the side door and meet one of the ministry team. We're going to be sat at the back there and say, I want to pray with someone. I want to become a Christian. I want that hope. I need that hope. Don't go home tonight hopeless. You have not got to go home tonight hopeless. None of you. While Jesus Christ is on the throne, there is hope. His love never fails.
Yes.
So if that's you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to ask you to go and just like ask someone to pray with you. And I'll happily pray with you out the side there. God bless you guys. Let's be happy if we got hope. Amen.